You know, I don't want us to ever take for granted what an incredible music leadership we have in this service. Isn't it incredible every week? It's easy to walk in and think, oh, this is what they do, but they work all week to make sure this service is not about them, but about God and the music. I was telling Jeremy what the sermon was about, and he just looked at me very puzzled, and then I finally said something. He said, yes, we can sing about that. So there's a lot of thought and planning that goes into what happens, and it's all to give glory to God. And so I give thanks for that, and I give thanks for each of you. This is the second Sunday in Advent. Last Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. We have hope because Christ is coming into the world. And the second Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of peace. Peace on earth is often a message we hear about at Christmas, but a deeper peace, not some nominal thing on a Christmas card, but the peace of Christ in our life, which then overflows into relationships and into how we live and how the world becomes the kingdom of God. So I wish you peace this day in everything that you bring to this moment and whatever might be on your heart. Let us pray. Gracious God, we desire to tune into you because you always have something to say to us. So help us in this moment be ready to listen. Pray a blessing on Baxter and his family as they are away from us and walking a road of grief, that you would comfort them and give them your peace, for they need it, O God, and remind them of our love. Be with those we bring who are on our hearts and circumstances that seem to lack peace, and move in mysterious and amazing ways to do your work in our midst. Do your work in our midst in this time we share together around your scripture. We open our hearts to the gift of who you are, and all the people said, amen. Christmas and Advent are seasons of lots of special things. But one of the things that happens during this season is our houses usually smell good. Do you know how your house smells at Christmas? You know how your house smells at Christmas? And we know this, even if your house doesn't smell like that, because candle companies and fragrance companies try to bottle all this stuff up and sell us a candle or a spray to make our house smell good. But it's never quite the same, is it, as a fresh Christmas tree in your living room? Anybody have a live Christmas tree in their house? A few folks do. Smells great, doesn't it? You want to keep smelling that, so keep watering it, or it won't smell that good later. Maybe your house smells like a crackling fire, and that's awesome, even if you have to turn the air conditioner on to have the fire, because we live in Georgia. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It will be different. Or maybe your house in this season smells like home-baked cookies, because it's the time for cookies, if there was ever a time. As an aside, you might know this realtor trick. When realtors are having an open house, they will buy some of those bake and break cookies and bake them in the oven so that when potential home buyers come in, they smell delicious, warm, homemade cookies, and they already feel like they're at home. But here's a tip if you want to try that. Don't burn them. See, I wouldn't do that. I would totally burn them. Don't burn them and you'll be good. Maybe it'll make a sale. Well, there's absolutely not a time in the world that screams homemade cookies, homemade baking, than these 4 weeks of December. And the Christmas cookie really stands out, that tradition of making Christmas cookies as a family. I wonder what your favorite Christmas cookie is. Rob, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Anything Margaret Ann makes.
You are a well-trained husband. All right, Linda Brooks, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Macadamia nut.
Oh, I like that very much. Andy Wilson, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Chocolate chip,
the greatest of all time. I mean, any time of year, chocolate chip is going to be really good. Amy, what's your favorite Christmas cookie? A sugar cookie. Does it have to be decorated?
Oh,
Yes. Anybody like gingerbread this time of year? Oh, no. You either love gingerbread or you hate gingerbread. People don't have mixed feelings about gingerbread. Anybody make those thumbprint cookies with the jam in the middle? Those are really old-fashioned and wonderful. My particular favorite is white chocolate and cranberry. And you can buy those bake and break at Kroger, and your house smells great. And you bake them, and you didn't have to make a mess. So there you go for your next cookie exchange. But even if you're not a good baker like me, and even if they're not perfect, when these cookies come out of the oven, they're these little round, happy circles of sugar and joy that we can eat, that we can share, that we can gift, and that makes the world a little bit sweeter. But there's this thing about baking Christmas cookies. We have to have the right ingredients. We have to have all the ingredients and the right ingredients. Self-rising flour is not the same as all-purpose flour. I will not tell you how I figured that out. Olive oil is not the same as vegetable oil, and milk chocolate is not the same as dark chocolate. The right ingredients are the X on the map to the start of this fun Christmas tradition of baking cookies. In the Gospel of Matthew today, we're going to meet Joseph again. It might have been a year since the last time we talked to Joseph. It's time for a conversation. We're going to meet him new and fresh. And he is pondering in this moment what went wrong in the recipe for his upcoming marriage to Mary. It's a difficult thing. So, Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Joseph was a man with a plan, and his plan seemed good. Everything was in the works. Quiet as Joseph is in the text, you may have noticed or may not have picked up on this. There's not one word attributed to Joseph in any of the Gospels. Not one. I don't know if any husbands are ever that quiet, even if they're quiet. Not one word. But yet his actions speak louder than words. There's no words attributed to him, but his mind was hard at work, putting together all the details for the life that was coming, the life with his betrothed, Mary. And as the time grew closer for them to become husband and wife, Mary showed up at the carpenter shop one day while he was on a break, and she said, "Joseph, we need to talk." Y'all know those words? Are they good words? Doss, are they good words? No, they're generally not good words. Joseph, we need to talk. And after that talk, everything was a blur. There was a baby and the Holy Spirit, and certainly in his mind, there is just no way that this is going down with him as the husband. So the plans that Joseph had lovingly made, they were smashed to smithereens. And he had to cook up a new plan with new ingredients. The first ingredient being a very weighty decision, what to do about Mary. What to do. And this decision, this key ingredient, was colored by two things that the text tells us about who Joseph is. It tells us that he was a good man, he was righteous, righteous man, and that he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. What this tells us is that he still cared about Mary, about who she was and her well-being, because a woman in her circumstance needed to be protected. An unmarried woman that was pregnant, what would have happened to her is she would have been stoned, and her life and the life of her unborn child would have been snuffed out. And Joseph wanted to protect her from that end. So he's lying in bed with his head on his little pillow, and he decides, I'll end it, but I'll end it quietly. We'll keep everything low-key. And it seems like the only way, it seems like the best thing we can do in this circumstance. So the first ingredient in Joseph's recipe for Advent was a decision. Break off an engagement. But God, of course, had other plans. Have you ever made a decision and God had other plans? Like every decision we ever make, right? God had other plans. And he falls into this restless sleep. And in the middle of a dream, this angel shows up after what had probably been the worst day of his life. And this angel wakes him up with these words. I have a message from you, for you from God the Father. First thing, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Mary, Mary, take care of her. Usher her child into the world and name him Jesus. For this little boy is the one who will fulfill the prophecies that you and your people have been waiting for all of your life. And Joseph's sleepy and tired eyes, they flew wide open. Because even in his disappointment about his conversation with Mary, and even in his confusion about what was happening in that very moment, and even in his concern about how the future might unfold, Joseph still had the capacity to dream and to follow those dreams. So the second ingredient in his recipe changed the flavor of the entire Christmas story quite drastically. The second ingredient, a holy dream for a holy man. Just like his namesake in the Old Testament, Joseph, Joseph dreamed not just for himself, but for all of the people in the name of God. But what happens next is the very best part. Obedience. Say that with me. Obedience. Joseph did it. He did every single part. He left nothing out. He married Mary. He took care of her. He ushered Christ's birth into the world, and he named that child Jesus. Not only that, he listened again when the angel showed up in another dream and said, Joseph, take Mary and the child to Egypt, for they are in trouble. And they got up in the middle of the night and they fled to protect this child, this Messiah's life. To obey in the face of adversity, of uncertainty, requires astounding faith from us. Whether it's Joseph, whether it's your great-grandmother, whether it's you, whether it's me, astounding faith is a powerful mountain mover in this world. And it's the ingredient that leads to obedience that seals the deal on the story of Jesus' birth as we know it. So it leads me to a question: what is our Advent recipe for 2021? Do we have all the ingredients to make that come together? And if we don't, how do we get them when we can't even get the simple stuff we need at Kroger because it's on a cargo ship in some port we've never even heard of? Maybe we need to start where Joseph started, to start with a decision. A decision that Advent will matter more this year to us than it ever has. The Advent will bring more of what counts on the inside and what makes a difference on the outside in this world. And this kind of decision is simple, but it's not easy. And we understand the difference in those, right? Simple, but not easy. And the decision we arrive at, whatever that may be, comes from the kind of character that we nurture. Because godly, good, and caring souls like Joseph make good, godly, and caring decisions. When I was a little girl, my whole family attended First United Methodist Church of Port Wentworth, Georgia. It's a metropolis. Have you visited there? If not, you should. There's nothing touristy to see, but and there never was. But you can drive through and say, oh, that was Port Wentworth. We attended First United Methodist Church on Turnberry Drive. It was a block from my grandparents' house. We all went on Sunday morning, but my grandfather, Papa, I called him, he went on Sunday nights. That was when we still had Sunday night church. Anybody remember Sunday night church? You either loved it or you're like, I really have to go to Sunday night church? Really? I'll tell you a secret. The preachers probably didn't like it very much either because they were tired, and here it was another sermon, another worship service. But we had Sunday night church, and my papa went every Sunday night, and I went with him. It was the two of us. We would walk that block to the church, and we would sit on the right-hand side in the sanctuary, and we would sing hymns out of the Power and Praise hymnal. Some of our Sunday school classes still use that. And we would listen to sermons from a tired preacher who wished he could, it was always a he, could have had a nap earlier that day instead of preparing another message. I don't remember any of the sermons. I do remember some of the songs. But what I remember is that experience. What I remember was holding hands with my grandfather in worship. What I remember is how that moment, that decision that he made to go to church on Sunday night and to take me with him, how it shaped me, how it formed me, how it even brings me to this moment with all of you and the moments I don't know about in the future of my life. How one good, godly, caring decision bears fruit in the world that we cannot imagine. Like Joseph, may our decisions be good and caring to the very best of our abilities. And may our decisions follow God's leading in our lives. But be sure, even if you make a decision to leave room for dreaming, make room to dream. But not those weird dreams you have when you wake up and you think, what was that about? And you go to work and you say to one of your coworkers, you were in my dream last night, and they just want to run away from you. Jeremy especially wants to run away from me when I say this, because ever since I've come to work here, every time he's in one of my dreams, he's this evil villain with this incredibly maniacal laugh. Can you do a maniacal laugh? He will not do a maniacal laugh. In my dreams, it is very real and very scary. I have no idea why that is. I'm so sorry, Jeremy. But it was a good sermon illustration. Thank you so much. Not those kind of dreams. Holy dreams. Holy dreams that come in the day and in the night, that crack a door open or a window. Doors and windows that you didn't even know were there. And these dreams, they whisper to us in the most impossible circumstances. Have you faced impossible circumstances in your life? They whisper to us in the voice of God, I have a plan for you. There's another way. It's not over. Don't give up. Keep going. These are Joseph's dreams. These are God's dreams. These are dreams of light in the midst of darkness. And these are dreams that change us and the world around us. So like Joseph, may your dreams set you and keep you on God's path. But if there's anything you get from this sermon, if there's anything that Joseph can teach us about a recipe for a holy Advent and a holy life, it's this particular word. So listen up. Obedience. Obedience. Now that might be, it seems like a bad word in our life. That might be a word on our least favorite word list. To obey, to do as commanded, to follow orders. Obedience. It's one word I usually don't use in a wedding ceremony. Obedience. 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 This Christmas, our missions offering goes to Home of Hope in Guinea. Samuel Johnson, who many of you have had the opportunity and blessing to meet, this brave, smart, talented, dedicated, gifted, and loving young man, and let me emphasize young, now stands in the gap for children in need to give them a hope and a future in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Amen to that. Samuel could have been anything with a college degree from Mercer University in his hand. He could have become a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a star athlete or a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker. But instead, he decided to go home, the home of his childhood, which is a home of poverty. And he went back home with the wealth of Jesus Christ in his hands to give. What Samuel did looks like sacrifice. It looks like purpose. It looks like calling. What Samuel is doing looks like obedience. And who knows what the fruit of Samuel's obedience will be? Who knows what these boys and girls might become and how they will influence the world they live in for good? Only God. But we can be obedient right here in Macon, Georgia, by offering our gifts and our prayers this Christmas to support Samuel's astounding, faithful obedience. There's a quote on my office wall that I found when I was going through a particularly difficult time in my spiritual journey, and it reads this, and I read it every day still. The excitement of obedience is finding out later what God has in mind. I want you to say that. I'm going to say a phrase, and then you say it after me. The excitement of obedience is finding out later what God has in mind. It's unclear to us as readers of the gospel how much of Jesus's life that Joseph actually got to witness, whether he saw most of it all played out or just a few years of his young life. Yet without Joseph's obedience, Jesus's earthly experience would have unfolded very differently. Like Joseph, may we obey God's call and command on our life, finding out later what God has in mind. You see, from the beginning, God knew the recipe, held all the ingredients in his right hand for Joseph, for us, for Advent, for life. Guiding our decisions, speaking into our dreams, seeking obedience from us that we might do our part in this bigger plan called gospel love and good news that is Christmas. And that, my friends, no matter how good your cookies are, is a way better tradition than Christmas cookies. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the example of this faithful man who speaks no words but yet speaks volumes to our heart about who you are and who you call us to be. May we decide to follow you and all that entails. May we dream big God dreams and live them out in little ways. And may we obey your call in our life so that others might follow the star and find you in the manger so that you might be born in their very hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the Advent people said, amen.